Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Frost and my guest today is Holly Woodhead. Holly's already had a really successful career after being selected for the Pony European Eventing Championships in 2009, to being longlisted for Rio, winning the CCI 3-star under 25 at Bramham International, and then being selected for Team Great Britain on Parkfield Quintessential in 2017. 2018 is set to be a really busy year for her, and Holly's going to share her story. This is Horse Hour. We have a guest today that I've been trying to get onto the podcast for ages, but she's been so busy because, you know, she's traveling all over the world and she's coaching all these amazing riders. And finally, we get her. It's Holly Woodhead. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Now, I feel really privileged because I've been trying to get Tom McEwen on the podcast for a while and he was scheduled for Friday. And so I'm so thrilled that we have you first. You made it on here first.
I know. I beat him to it. I don't normally beat him, so at least I can brag about this one.
Bless you. What's it like then? Let's just explain to everybody that, you know, some people aren't into eventing, so they don't know what you do. Let's just explain to them, you know, how great you are. I mean, from 15, you were eventing. You come from a super successful family. Can you explain to us about your dad and your sister?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm very fortunate. I do come from an extremely knowledgeable background of horses. The whole of my family are involved with horses. My mother also a dressage rider, my stepmother Heidi's a top event rider, and having my dad as a brilliant trainer, you know, I'm extremely lucky with the background that I've come from.
And now you've become a really successful international eventer, so I've got loads of questions for you, but a little birdie told me that growing up, you weren't given anything. If you wanted to do this, no matter how amazing your family were, they said, no, Holly, you've actually got to do it yourself.
Yeah, definitely. We've never been given, my sister or myself, never given anything on a plate. If anybody knew my father, that's the way he works, which has only ever worked in our favour, really. I mean, from a young age, we have a riding school at home in Grimsby, and to learn to ride, we were always put on the naughty ones that seemed to book people off or take off at the back of the ride. And, you know, Grandma used to make us get on those and square them up. And, you know, we're given some great ponies from some very nice families to learn on. We learn on riding school ponies. My sister learned to ride with the Riding for Disabled that we had at home. So, yeah, it was a brilliant upbringing.
How lovely to include the riding school, because I'm such a believer in riding schools. I mean, not just for children, but I went to riding school when I was 27, and that's what got me back into riding. I'm so grateful for them.
Yeah, a funny story with the riding school, actually. I was obsessed with all the riding school ponies, and every Wednesday night, I think I used to raid my mum's, like, kitty, and managed to get all the change together. And then I'd pack my bag and put my boots and my hat and my gloves in this bag. And I'd go downstairs and I'd walk into the tack room and look on the list and see who I was riding. And then go join the ride on 6:15 Wednesday evening every week. And everyone used to go, Holly, you've got your own ponies, like you can go ride. And I was like, no, I want to ride in the riding school. So that's where my riding habits came from.
So you've got three different members of your family who were really good at riding, and so you could choose. You were lucky in the respect that you were aware of the different disciplines, so you could follow your mum's footsteps and go into dressage. What made you choose eventing?
I think from a very early age, I loved the dressage. I always wanted to be a dressage rider. And then as I got a little bit older, I decided that I was a little bit too mad for the dressage, and I'd rather go flat out everywhere than, you know, stay in a collected canter in the indoor school, or just, you know. And I was all, you know, I wanted to do the tricks and everything instead of really work at the basics. And I was very lucky to be given a pony called Ballymoney that actually started my career off from a lovely lady called Joan Little, and she was an out-and-out jumper, and she started my career and really gave me the buzz to want to do the eventing. And also it helped Dad marrying Heidi Simmons, now Heidi Woodhead, and she also evented, and, you know, I got to go watch her at Burley in badminton, and from then I think I just got the bug, and that's all I wanted to do.
Gosh, so you've got to be, I always say, really, really brave to do eventing. I'm a 4 feet on the ground kind of girl. I'm not crazy enough to, or definitely don't have the courage to go galloping around those fences that you do. What is it that makes you so passionate, apart from the speed?
Well, actually, if you looked at my record, I'm not the fastest in the world. Definitely not as fast as Izzy or Gemma. I think it's just the bond that you, when you go in cross country, and the feeling that it is just you and your horse, you know, the challenges that are there in front of you, you've got to take it as it comes. And it's like, I relate that to a little bit in life, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So it's a bit of a mystery. And, you know, if you ride well, you do well. So I think that's where I get the drive from, especially going cross country. And it helps if you also sat on a very nice horse. But I think, yeah, I think that's definitely the key that makes me want to do it.
And with the fact that you love that pace so much more, and the cross country a little bit more than the dressage, does that mean that you have to really kick your bum into place to actually do the dressage and do the groundwork at home? Because it's important, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I'm extremely lucky that I'd like to think that I'm quite knowledgeable on that. A lot of people, you know, they expect me to do well in the dressage, but, you know, I'm still quite young, and although my father and my sister and mum help, you know, a lot of it I do on my own. So having a little bit of their input now and again really, really helps.
But it makes me laugh when people say things like, you know, well, she's got a good mum and a good dad who can tell her what to do. Because quite honestly, I'd never listen to my parents.
No, I can't say I do, though. not on a day basis, but as soon as they're in the arena, you know, I couldn't tell you two more people that I appreciate more. And if I've always said since I was little, if I could be half as good as them, then I'll be happy.
And that comes down to you being a true professional, that, you know, you can respect them enough to know that they do know what they're talking about, obviously, because they're, you know, amazing trainers. But maybe yeah. that you've been doing that since you were young. You know, many 15-year-olds would say, you know, my mum's she could be the best rider in the world. She can't ride at all, by the way, and she's petrified of horses.
Yeah.
But at that age, I think I'd still struggle. And to have that professional head on you so young to take on board all the advice around you must have helped your career.
Oh, massively. And with advice, you know, I like it from anyone, whether it's my sister or, you know, just someone on the ground, the girls that work for me, Lydia and George, like, even if they're in the school, you know, I ask, you know, is eyes on the ground and more, you know, can tell you a lot. And having the knowledge, obviously, of my parents, it's, I think it's got me to where I am now.
But let's not take away from the fact that your first pony you produced yourself.
Yeah, she would. Ballymoney, she was ridden by a fellow eventer and also a friend, Danny Dunn, up to novice. And then I managed to get her, and she was a brilliant pony. quite stubborn at times, but she got me to a good level. And I was very lucky to have a horse called the French one, who we still actually have now. He was given to me as a gift from Derek Harrison. He competed up to 3-star level, and he was a very quirky horse, and I had a lot of success with him at JRN's when I was probably 15, 16. So I'm very grateful to him as well for giving me that boost.
For those of us like me that don't know what a JRN is, what is that, a junior riding?
Yeah, regional, like it's between like ponies and juniors. That it's an in-between, like an in-between class. They used to have the final at Western Park. I didn't really actually do it anymore.
Oh, but no, that's sad. Now, I've also heard through the grapevine that you have a wonderful horse called Luke. Can you tell us about Luke?
Yes.
Is he your baby?
Luke is my baby and also the devil. I owe everything to him. He's and I'm so excited about this year. He's back in work now. He's had 18 months off. Heidi, my stepmom's done an incredible job with his looking after him for the 18 months. So now just look forward to cracking on this season with him and hopefully get some good results.
Why did he have 18 months off? Was he okay?
He injured himself just before the final selection for Rio, which I was lucky to be shortlisted for. Which was a massive, it's a massive high and then a massive low, but you've got to take it. You know, that's eventing on horses for you. So he was injured and then he was off all last year. And so I didn't have a top horse last year, but I was very lucky to have three fantastic horses all move up to advanced level.
But that's hard, Heidi, for you on two levels, because, you know, for you, you've been shortlisted for Rio, which is such an amazing achievement. You're only 24. And then to not only do you have the loss of not being able to go, but then you've got the loss, really, that your horse, which I think is even more important, is your horse is really poorly.
Yeah, it was massive. It was a massive knock on the head. And, you know, I just evented because I love that horse so much. And I always said, you know, if I didn't have him, I don't want to do it. I think that's it only makes you stronger. And, you know, like I said, last year I started off with one intermediate horse and I ended up with 3 advanced horses. So I think it just, you know, as one door closes, another one opens. And now to have him back in the team, it's super exciting for this year.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. And I'm thrilled that he's better. I'm thrilled that... What was the injury? What was wrong with him?
So he just had a slight leg injury. It wasn't too serious, but we wanted to give him the time. You know, like, he owes me nothing and, you know, I'd rather him be 100% and we'll just go for Tokyo instead.
Oh, wow. So that's the plan then?
Well, you know, you've all got to have your plans and your aims. You've got to have plan A, B, C, D. But I think he's good enough. And if we have some good results, then why not?
So what do you have to do then as a rider to make sure that your horse is okay and ready for Tokyo? And also you're ready for it too.
I think it's just having a very good plan and... For me, it's having my amazing team around me, which includes from the farrier to the physio, the vets, the girls on the yard who, on a daily basis, I'd be lost without because they are brilliant. And having the support team around you that, you know, the planning and the preparation, you get spot on. And this is coming from me, who is not very organised whatsoever. I'm happy to admit it. You know, not a lot of people can get hold of me or anything, but... I'm very lucky to have the team that I do at such a young age. So I think if we can just keep going forward and building on that, then anything's possible.
Oh, I think it's incredible. Holly, I'm fascinated to know, what was the turning point for you when you thought, I'm actually really good at this? And not only am I really good at it, but I think I could do it as a business.
So the turning point for me, I was very fortunate to actually work for a year for my boyfriend when I had a skiing accident in 2012, and I was off all year with I snapped my cruciate ligament. I skied off a cliff.
Oh no!
So I wouldn't advise anyone. Because I was laughing at my sister so much. I wouldn't advise skiing off a cliff to anyone at all, or at the beginning of the season. So I was off all year, and that year that I had off, and I had to stand back and watch people compete, how people dealt with nerves, how people prepared, you know, without having to compete myself. And I watched, and that year alone, I learned so much from just watching from the ground. Mm-hmm. It was not a bad thing at all. And then I moved yards, and I rented two stables. I just had two horses, and I lived in my lorry for 6 months. I found work and I made it happen. And I think from that point, I thought, actually, you know, if I can go through that and come out the other end, why not give it a go?
Yeah.
And that was 3 years ago. And now I have an amazing string of horses I've got 20 plus horses, some amazing owners, a fantastic yard here at Brook Farm, which belongs to Parkfield Breeding, Sharon and Holly Bishop. And I'm just forever grateful for what everyone does for me.
Gosh, that's so lovely. I still can't believe you lived in a horse box for 6 months.
I did. And my lorry had no heating, no water. So when people say venters are, we live in lorries all year, so why not live in one normally?
But how did you cope with no water? Like, where did you shower?
Well, we were at Maisie Manor, home to Catherine Burrell, and at the time Jesse Campbell, the Kiwi eventer, was based there, and he was very lovely and let me borrow the shower. So I didn't go without showering. So yeah, no, and I had some really great friends, and like Lisa Green, I went and stayed with her for a few weeks, and just, you know, you've got to make it happen. It don't matter how tough it is, you'll come out the other end.
Oh, it's brilliant. You've been sofa surfing at all these amazing riders'
houses. I was a little bit like a gypsy for a while.
Do you know, Holly, we should do it again for a week. I'll give you a video camera and just go sofa surfing everyone's houses you did then, and give us little updates along the way. It sounds like so much fun.
I'd absolutely love to. Yeah, definitely. I'd love to.
I bet it must have been a lot of pressure at that time, though, you know, when you've... The outgoings are the horses, so I guess you don't have rent to pay and things like that. But ultimately, you've got to make it work because you've given up everything. You haven't got anything.
Yeah, no, I think that's having my parents very horsey, and you know, Dad's motto: I'm not going to give anything to you on a plate. Like, we've got an amazing yard at home in Grimsby. He could have just handed that over, but no. If we want it, we work for it, and. You know, now I can stand on my own 2 feet, and I ring him up for advice, and that's about it. So no. I don't really have to rely on anyone for anything as such.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How did you learn the business side of things? Because that's not something that you get taught at school. You only learn that through experience.
Yeah, I'm still learning.
Yeah, but we all are. Everyone in business is always learning.
You know, I have a great girl that helps me do the books and everything. But it just a day to day is just trial and error. I think I'm gonna say, but no, yeah.
I think
still learning.
I think you. It's hard coming from my background's business, and horses were later on in life because I didn't start riding until I was 27. So coming from a predominantly business background, I think every person has a product or a vision, and your product and your vision is you, and that's your goals, which is great. But I think the hard thing when you become a professional rider and need to set up a business is then learning things like managing staff and dealing with contracts and terms of employment and accounts. Accounts is always the killer when you've got to do your tax returns. But what, Holly? That's what accountants and bookkeepers are for. So people like, I know it sounds really cheesy, but people like Alan Sugar and all the top successful people, they have advisors around them. And I often say it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to just pay those people that know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because we can't be good at everything. Your expertise is your brand. It's you. It's the riding. It's the competing. It's the producing horses and coaching new people coming through. The other stuff that we're not so good at, just employ someone to do it. It's fine.
I do ask a lot of people for help, and I'm not shy about asking for help. So,
if you need any help, then we have Horse Hour Business, which is on Facebook. It's a Facebook group, and there are some great people on there. So there's experts, there's consultants. So we basically put together a collection of business people that are all experts in their industry, and the users as well, they've had great experience, so they share their stories. There was a lady the other day that she wants to launch a new therapy. In America she wants to launch it, and she didn't know how to raise any money. She knew that she had this great product, but it was going to cost her a fortune to buy it. So our business experts and some other users got together and said, why don't you try this form of raising money, and maybe you could try crowdfunding, and helped her do her market research and helped her do her business plan, and she's now launching it in America.
Oh wow.
So I think you're right, asking for help is okay, and you're lovely and you're really bubbly, so I'm sure the managing the people side isn't too hard for you.
I try but no, it's keeping it fair as well as like on the yard with the girls and stuff. Like they take it in turns going to the shows, and I'd like to think I treat everyone equally.
And those girls have their dreams as well. So they've got some of them will be aspiring to be like you. Some of them will want to be the head groom and will absolutely love the looking after the horses. So I guess it's learning what each person wants and what their goals are.
So exactly. And I'm very much for I have a guy called James Stock who's a young rider here, and I think the opportunities that I've been given in the past and lately and everything else, I always want to give to other people as well. And I love teaching, and I love giving the knowledge and the help that I've received. I love giving that on to other people. You know, I get as much buzz out of doing it myself and doing well as when I see someone I've helped go out and do well. So I think that, I think that's a good thing to have, especially in this world when the industry, it is tough.
I've heard that a lot. I mean, you, for example, you know, you're up at 6:30. Your day to day is just insane. 6:30 in the
morning.
That's
just normal.
Yeah, to, you know, 7:30, 8:00
easy
at night.
Day.
And that's but non-stop. But I've also heard a few riders have said, you know, just going back briefly to what you were saying about watching, when you had that year out and you were watching everybody and like being a sponge, soaking it all in. For riders that are a few levels lower than you, you know, they could go to we go to badminton, we go to Burley, we could go to some 3-star events, and just sitting in that warm-up ring or just outside and watching people warm up and watching what they're doing with their horses, I find it really calming, because for me I go, oh, I'm so nervous and so crazy about everything, and everybody's so relaxed. But also I should imagine you're very approachable, so if I had a question I'd want to ask you, but as a spectator, I don't want to bother you, because I'm thinking, oh, she's in the zone.
I think to anyone out there that's, you know, that's got some dreams and ambitions, never be afraid to ask. And I'm, like, the majority, I'd like to think, of riders would be definitely, you know, free to offer help and everything. Like, even now when I'm at an event, I'm most of the time wandering around the lorry park trying to find someone to ask them their opinion, or... You know, like, you can never stop learning. You can learn something new from everyone. So definitely from that point of view, if you're going to watch at an event, you know, take time and go watch at the warm-up, because that's where you'll learn a lot from watching people in the warm-up and how differently people do things. It was a massive eye-opener, and I'm pleased I skied off the cliff. So I got time to learn. Don't be afraid of asking and watching.
So you've had a break. Luke's had a break too. So the partnership is a force to be reckoned with this year.
Oh, definitely.
What are your plans?
With him, I'd definitely like to win Blenheim. I think that's my aim with him. You know, I've got plenty of time. It's an amazing event. I was lucky enough to take one of my other great horses, Parkfield Quintessential, there last year. It was my first time competing there, and I hope it's not my last. And I'd like to go back and win there, and especially on Luke. So, yeah.
Oh, that would be such a lovely story. Wouldn't it be like a movie, really? Holly flies off the edge of a cliff. Horse Luke hurts himself just before he's going to Rio. And then it all comes together nicely in a gorgeous little package where they win.
That would be amazing. It'd be a sellout.
How many horses do you have?
So we have 23 in work competing at the moment, ranging from the 3 coming 4-year-olds to my top horses. I've got quite a few this year, but looking forward to all of them. They're all lovely horses, and I have some amazing owners, like I said earlier. So hopefully it's going to be a good year.
And how many, out of those 23, how many do you personally compete?
They will all be for me.
No way.
How do you compete? A few of them are, we own myself, well, not me particularly, my dad owns, you know, and James Stocker, my second rider, who's also got his own horse. He's going to go for Young Riders again this year. He's allowed to compete, and he does a brilliant job of competing some of my own. So, you know, it's very much a team effort of competing them.
And your groom, who are the groom? Are you the sort of person that has grooms that rides them to warm them up for you, or do you do everything yourself?
No, I'm very much, I like all my horses to be ridden by myself, but I would expect my horses to go in the same way for anybody who would get on them. So both my girls, Georgia and Lydia, they both ride, they hack, you know, they can school. Lydia spends quite a lot of the winter out hunting some of the young horses, which I think she thoroughly enjoys. And then obviously James rides alongside me. And anybody that I teach, you know, if they're coming in for a lesson, I'm more than happy for them to help warm up horses with me.
Wow.
So
You wouldn't be saying that, Holly, if you were teaching me. You'd be like, no. Amy, you can go to the other end of the estate. Miles away.
We've got horses to fit different, like, to suit different people. And, you know, the older ones, I'd tend to ride just myself. But especially the young ones, like hacking and stuff, I think it's good to have a bit of variety with them. Mm.
And has Tom come over yet and said, oh, let me ride that one, Holly? That one's a really good one.
He says it about Luke quite a lot. We didn't go skiing this year. Well, we were supposed to go skiing, funnily enough, and we didn't. I think he knows that Luke's coming back into work. So I think if we did go skiing, he'd slightly push me back off a cliff again. I know he's got a soft spot for Luke, but... No, hands off, Thomas.
You were talking about riding schools earlier and how much you love them, and it sounds like you've got a mini riding school there. Like, once they've all competed, I know they're not riding school ponies, but would you consider setting up your own riding school?
I don't think so. I know, like, my grandma did it for 60 odd years, and I know what stress it causes. But I mean, my sister's now based at home in Grimsby, and unfortunately she actually shut the riding school down due to having too many horses. So it's a professional dressage yard now. But I think if I was ever to go home in years to come, I definitely would set it back up again at home. So watch that space, Amy.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
And do you?
I love watching all the little kids fly around on the ponies out of control, and, you know, that's how we learn, and I think that's how people should still learn.
It makes my heart melt, but it also, now that I'm a bit older, it also makes me cringe, because I think, oh God, how did we get away with that in those days? You know, the gymkhana, jump on, jump off, take the saddle off, run around that, go on. If you fall off, it's all right, get back on. You know, those...
Yeah, just laugh.
You bounce better as a child.
Yeah.
Couldn't imagine doing that now. And do you still do work with the RDA?
No, that was at home in Grimsby. But that is something I would love to be a part of in a few years, whether to be involved with an organisation or to do, you know, to raise money for RDA, that it is quite close to my heart. And that is definitely an ambition and goal to do when I'm a little bit older and when I've got a little bit more time. Is to work alongside something like that.
Oh, that would be lovely. Well, let me know when you do. I'll work with you on that, because I think that could be
That'd be amazing.
Fun. I love the RDA. Yeah. I think they're amazing.
I think it's very, and I think it's such a good, you know, I think it's good for anyone, and it's...
They're so positive, and they take... what I love the most is they take what can be really sad, could be seen as negative situations, and give everybody a lease of life to actually go and be so successful doing what they love, as well as looking after the horses. Everyone's outside. I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I think, and having grown up and been around it as a young person, it's all very level and fun, and everyone enjoys it. And I just think it's a brilliant, brilliant cause.
Well, Holly, thank you so much for talking to us this evening. It's been really lovely talking to you. What are you going to do now? Go and get some rest?
I'm going to put some washing on, I think, and maybe have a little drink. And then probably head to bed for another long day tomorrow.
Get some sleep. How can we follow you on Twitter and Instagram?
Instagram, Twitter, and my Facebook page. And recently I've got a fabulous website. Now it's all been revamped. Very kindly from Tim Wilkinson, who's done all the photos and everything. So definitely get following if you don't already. On Instagram, I'm just Hollywoodhead. On Twitter, I'm Hollywoodhead2. And then on Facebook, just Hollywoodhead Eventing.
And I love that you've got your own hashtag, The Woodhead Way.
The Woodhead Way. Yay. Yay.
Now, your sponsors, we'll give them a quick mention, because without sponsors, you know, we couldn't do what we do. So Horseware Ireland, Eurostar, NAF, Gain Animal Nutrition, And Taras. What do they do?
Lovely, lovely tack. Saddles, bridles, hats, boots. Definitely worth follow.
Oh, they look gorgeous.
Yeah, they are very, very nice.
Mojo Europe?
Yes.
Yeah. So what are Mojo Europe? They're holographic Mojo wristbands. How do they help?
Well, I'd like to think they help me stay on. they give you good balance. So I wear mine, especially cross country.
They've got embedded holographic technology,
yes,
which is used by athletes, used both for horses, animals and humans, and it helps with your inner balance. Yes. Oh my goodness, well I totally need that because I can't even walk down the road without nearly falling over, so that'd be great.
It hasn't worked on a night out yet though.
Not if you consume alcohol.
No.
And then your images are provided by Tim Wilkinson, who's super. Well, Holly, thank you so, so much. I'm going to let you go and have a glass of wine, a hot bath, and put your feet up and have a rest. Thank you so much. And best of luck for you and Luke. We will be cheering you on from the sidelines this year.
Thank you ever so much.
Thanks, Holly. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. You can hear more episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk. You can also listen on iTunes and on Acast. And while you're there, why not hit subscribe? Because you'll never miss an episode again. Once you hit subscribe, each new episode of the podcast comes directly through to your mobile phone and even sends you a little notification. While you're on our website, then there's lots of education in our education hub, from advice on laminitis, on grass sickness, even tips on first aid for your horse. I hope you enjoy Horse Hour on Twitter every Monday night between 8 and 9 p.m. Just use the hashtag Horse Hour, and of course we tweet all week, so we're always looking for your stories and your journeys, your videos and your pictures, everything that you're doing with your horse. I hope you have a great week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.